WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and Sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. This is Tuesday, the 29th day of February. I'm Bill Newell with Rick Moore. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll take a look at some of the news stories making news around the North Shore today. Some of the newspapers will browse the papers just ahead. Let me just tell you our two videos that we have up on the website. First one up is a video as to why you should not get your news from the internet. And it's not just us. It's not a knock on our website, but it's a knock on some things that you find on the internet, such as Facebook, just for one example. But you might want to take a look at that. That's a pretty funny video up there on that piece. And also, we've got a 30-second clip or less, actually, an outtake from the movie Casino, with Don Rickles in that, and so you might like to see that. Actually, we had Don Rickles last week, so we got him this week. He's still all around. Don Rickles with us here on North Shore Today. Our guest today, Heidi Dahlin from the Gloucester Stage Company, and we'll also try to get a clip of Bob Jackson in from Marblehead Hockey and from last night's North Shore Sports Night show. So we got a lot of things happening. Let's kick things off with a trip up to the Cape Ann area and the very latest, some kind of sad news from the city of Gloucester today. And with those details and more, Rick Moore. Rick?
Okay, Bill, thank you very much, and happy Tuesday. Very sad day, really, in the city of Gloucester. Cape Ann is mourning the loss of a community leader. I'm going to read this. Ray Lamont writes in the Gloucester Times that Cape Ann and Santa Claus have lost their greatest Christmas helper, Rudolph A. Rudy Mackey, a longtime community activist and longstanding co-president of Mahoney Insurance, died Monday morning at the age of 73 after a bout with cancer. Many across the region Monday paid tribute to Mackey's service. He was involved in the Rotary, Chamber of Commerce, the Rose Baker Senior Center, the Northeast Massachusetts chapter of the American Red Cross. But he was best known for filling in for Santa Claus, whether riding on the back of a Gloucester fire truck each year to highlight the city's Santa Parade, or quietly slipping down to Boston to visit the Shriners Hospital for Children in the same role. Many, many people giving tribute to Rudy Mackey, who died at age 73. City's jobless rate has decreased, according to Ray Lamont in the Gloucester Times. The number of workers who were unemployed fell sharply from a year ago in January. The state's first 2016 labor report shows, January was at 7.3%, a drop of a full percentage point from the 8.3% listed for the city in January of 2015. And that rate is built upon figures showing 1,131 of those within the city's workforce were unemployed for the first month of the new year, down 12% from the 1,297 who were looking for jobs at the same time a year earlier. And finally, Bill, according to Sean Hogan in the Gloucester Times, the National Transportation Safety Board says its investigation into last December's sinking of the Oran Sea and the drowning of Gloucester fisherman David Sutherland is not expected to be released until the fall. Keith Holloway, NTSB spokesman, said investigators for the federal agency still are compiling the timeline for the incident that occurred last December 3, about 12 miles off Thatcher Island, and then will proceed to be writing the first report, the first draft of the report, rather. Don't forget, take a look at the website. We have a lot of interviews from last night with on North Shore Sports Night, particularly with Bob Jackson, the Marblehead hockey coach, looking back on the Headers' fantastic season, and also with Gary Larrabee, who looks at some of the local golfers who are doing very well worldwide. And we will have Trending Now with Josh Arnold on Friday at 3 p.m. That's it from here, Bill.
All right, thanks, Rick. As I look at the front page of today's Salem News, Ethan Foreman has a story. It's called Liberty Street Causeway to Close Next Month. Now, Liberty Street Causeway is scheduled to close on April 18th, and if you're thinking to yourself, whoa, wait a minute, wasn't that closed before? The answer is yes. This is an $8 million project. The closure will allow public works crews to reinstall utilities in the roadway and perform other work. Officials expect the causeway, which carries traffic over the Porter River, to reopen completely on August 18th. So it'll be open by the end of the summer. This closure will be shorter than the one that took place from December of 2014 to September of 2015. Liberty Street is, of course, a major cut-through for folks in the Danvers Port area, folks going to Beverly, Peabody, Danvers, and so on. So anyway, that's in today's front page of the Salem News. They also have a story for Ipswich. They're working on schools in that community for I think some election issues coming up. And Amanda Ostuni writes a story in today's Salem News about school leaders taking a look at some of the things. This time they take you inside the Winthrop School. So there's some stories on that. Also, there's a front page story. You may want, if you're at or around Salem State at all, there. Dustin Luca writes a story about changes coming on how cars park around Salem State University. A number of changes to parking along Lafayette Street and Loring Avenue will protect homeowners and businesses in the area from commuter students who forego the university's new South Salem parking garage through its students, though many of the students in the heart of the issue. The Salem State does support those changes because they want to be good neighbors as well. The City Council voted last week on three parking-related changes near the public university, two of which are along Lafayette Street. First, a roughly 410-foot stretch from Lafayette Street to the road's intersection on Rabin Avenue has been designated as parking only for residents. You know, if I were a resident, I'd want that, but don't you remember going to areas you want to park and you say, oh, resident only? Oh, man, that's a killer sometimes. But obviously you need to protect the residents. So those are some of those news stories. Let's see. In the town of Saugus, in the front page of today's Daily Item, Bridget Turcott writes that they're getting very close to naming a new superintendent in the town of Saugus. These are some names that might be familiar to some of you here on the North Shore. They are down to four candidates, so they've actually moved very quickly on this. The candidates include three superintendents, David DeRussi from Malden Public Schools, Patricia Lally from Holbrook Public Schools, and John Massaro of the Winthrop Public Schools. And the fourth candidate, the finalist, is Carla Scuzzarella, the principal at North Andover High School. And Scuzzarella has previously been an administrator in Beverly, Melrose, and Westford. So there you go. Also, if you've been in Marblehead, you've seen these signs. It says No Mariner Project. And the item on the front page has a photo of those bright red signs from the town of Marblehead. Kind of interesting. A group of residents are opposed to a plan to build the first assisted living center in town. The opponents spoke out against the Mariner projects slated for 263 to 269 Pleasant Street during the planning board meeting. We actually talked about this when we talked with the Marblehead Town Administrator about a month ago now. But Rebecca Curran Cutting of Marblehead's planner before the meeting said that she expected the site to be approved with conditions. But obviously some folks there, actually those signs are, I think, right on Pleasant Street there. As you see some of those things. And let me just see. So those are some of the news stories making news today. We are going to stay with you here. We're going to take a quick break, and Heidi Dallin will join us. She's from the Gloucester Stage Company. Rick Moore will check in with her just ahead with us here on North Shore Today, and then we got to check on sports for you as well. So hang in there with us here on North Shore Today.
MSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and sports.
Josh Arnold's Trending Now.
What do you think of the presidential primaries now? I mean, it's you know, we've made it this far along. Any sense of how it's? Do you see anything coming out of this other than a Trump-Clinton square off in November?
Trending Now with Josh Arnold on MSONewsSports.com. MSO Radio,
North Shore Now,
news and sports. Monday nights at 7, it's North Shore Sports Night, the North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns. MSONewsSports.com.
I'm at the Gloucester Sage Company. I'm thrilled. I'm with Heidi Dahlen. She is the Media Relations Director. And Heidi, you have another title too. You work, you got two, yep. two hats.
Yep, Education Director. Actually, I have three hats.
Okay.
That, other hats too, but three defined hats. Yes, I'm also the Education Director, so I run the youth program. And we hold classes three times a year. We have a summer session coming up starting on July 8th. And it's an introduction to theater for young people mm-hmm. ages 5 to 18. So come on into Gloucester Stage and you can learn about theater. And we have great guest artists coming in. I teach acting. We have this summer Lindsay Krause is going to come in and teach. So you get an Academy Award nominee teaching you. It's really
awesome.
Terrific. We involve all the kids in the theater. And then in December, I write and direct a show for all the students. And the kids get to perform on the stage here at Gloucester Stage.
Well, I know that you could be back on the stage full-time here if a certain lady gets elected president.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. What's good for Hillary is good for Heidi. So
absolutely. And we'll have to talk about that down the road. I can't wait. But you got your start, I know, at Gloucester High School. And, you know, you've been involved in theater for a long time. So it must be great for you to be able to work with kids. And I know that you do work with high school kids. They come here quite a bit,
yep,
too, don't they?
All ages. And right now I'm currently at Beeman School as a guest artist. And I'm working with Beth Goldberg. And I'm directing Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
So I work with all ages. And it's funny, people ask me, like, oh, don't you like working with older kids or young? I love them all because I love all the kids. Are so terrific. And one of the reasons when I started the youth program back in 2003 was because I didn't have this opportunity for something outside of, you know, outside of school. I really love theater and I had nowhere else to go. And so I wanted to offer that for the kids here. And I really felt it was a whole segment of the population that Gloucester Stage was overlooking.
How did you get to Gloucester Stage? What's the genesis for your getting to where you are now?
I invited Israel Horovitz to speak at my National Honor Society banquet.
Is that when it began? No way. So you're responsible. That's awesome.
Yep.
We picked these up here. Yep.
We wanted, like, a really exciting speaker. All the speakers had not been very exciting up until then, and we wanted an exciting speaker. And I didn't know him, but Nan Cobby, who was at the Gloucester Times, knew him, and she gave me his phone number and said, good luck. And he came, and he drove from New York and got a pair of Fisherman at the Wheel bookends, which he's told me many times he had no idea what to do with them. But he was the best speaker we ever had at the Honor Society banquet. So
I have one of those bookends. I didn't get two. I got one when I retired. But so Israel Horovitz came and stayed.
He did. Well, he was here. He had bought a house here. And so he always loved Gloucester, and he had bought a house here. So he was around. That's what gave me the idea to ask him, because I figured he had a connection to Gloucester.
Fantastic.
So so he had his house, you know, the house that he still lives in here. And that was it.
I think the amazing part, I see him around town for the last 20 or 30 years, and he just blends right into the city. You know, he's part of the city. And Jillian with the running, I don't know if she's still running, but we used to interview her, particularly after she would win a race, which
right.
was often in
which
Beverly.
Was all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Such a big name in theater, and to have him associated now with this Gloucester Stage Company these many years, he's really put he's put it on the cultural map.
Right. Right. Well, how many theaters can boast a professional? How many towns can boast a professional theater?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not many. If you start in Boston and you go all the way down, there's a couple, really.
Right.
Stoneham Theater, North Shore Music Theater. And Gloucester Stage is known for being cutting edge and doing world premieres and bringing world-class artists here. So, but it makes sense. Gloucester is an arts community, so it's not only visual art. There's also, you know, performing art as well. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be tops in everything.
How does it work? How do you get the program filled for the summer, let's say, in different you know, different weeks and different plays or whatever it is that you have performing? What are the whole logistics of that?
Well, the artistic director picks the season. We have a new artistic director who was named last year, Bob Walsh, who's been an actor and a director here for many years. He starred in Gloucester Blue last year, Israel's play. So a lot of people remember him from that. And he works with the managing director, who is Jeff Zinn, who's new as well. He came to the theater last fall. Mm-hmm. And they kind of work together. It's a lot of compromise and if there's a play Jeff likes, Bob reads it. Bob, you know, will say, "Hey, Jeff, what do you think about this?" And a lot of the plays, some plays, they have people in mind. You know, Lindsay wanted to do Lettuce and Lovage. This was a play she really wanted to do. So, that was kind of that genesis for the opening play. But, you know, some shows, they have people in mind. Bob Walsh is directing one of the shows. Jeff Zinn, the managing director, is directing another show. Mm-hmm. So, and then they have open auditions for the other actors.
Now, I presume this is all taken care of by subscriptions or by ticket sales. And where do the artists go when they if they're coming in from out of town, let's say, and they have maybe 3 or 4 days that they're going to perform? How does that work? Do they have to coordinate with someone here, or they take care of that on their own?
Well, it's a 2-week rehearsal period, and then the show runs for 4 weeks. So they have 2 weeks, and it really depends if they are from New York or they're not, then the theater has to find housing for them. So if anyone has a spare bedroom or a guest house they would like to donate for a famous actor to live in, we'd be more than happy for that. So that is a challenge, finding housing in Gloucester in the summertime.
Okay.
So, that's something. But the majority of the actors are from Boston. Mm-hmm. And, even our artistic director, Bob, lives in Boston. So he's scouting around on Airbnb and everything, looking for places to stay this summer. So you could even have the artistic director stay with you if you wanted to.
Okay. So in the summertime. What's been the most fun for you, Heidi? I know you've been here for a while. I don't know how many years, but I know you've been here for a while. What's been the most fun for you over the years?
Oh, God, that's a hard question. Well, I enjoy the media relations. I enjoy the media. I enjoy the people I work with. I love, Gail McCarthy at the Gloucester Times.
Oh, yes.
Is such a love and a doll. And, I love everything about, working with her. And the whole crew down at the Times, Mike Springer and all the photographers and everything. When I go to an event and I see a photographer, Desi or Mike, at an event, I always feel happy. I'm like, oh, good, my buddies are here. And Jane Enos is so devoted at the Beacon. Jane Enos and Keith Powers are so devoted to the arts in Gloucester as well. And Donna Coyne, who is the first string reviewer at the Globe, is wonderful too. So I enjoy all of that. And, then I get to work with the kids, which is amazing. And seeing them grow, seeing a girl who couldn't, or boy who couldn't say their name. Mm-hmm. Out loud.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're starring in a play or they're doing, it's really exciting, and seeing the kids and now the youth program's been going on for so long that the kids are out in the community and they're in college and everything. And well, you're a teacher. You know how gratifying that is.
Absolutely.
So, and working with teachers in the school system too. I mean, partnering with Beth Goldberg at Beeman. I partner with Helen Green at West Parish, and I directed the West Parish fifth grade play in December with Helen. Leslie Sellers at O'Malley is a dear friend of mine, and we work together all the time. I love that, and finding ways to bring Gloucester Stage into the community, I think, is one of my greatest joys.
I think it's amazing that we do have this cultural masterpiece here, if you will. It's a jewel, and it's amazing. This is my first tour of it, by the way, and as I said in our walk around, it's amazing to me how you create something out of virtually nothing, because this was an old storage place, but you get such creativity out of here and such enjoyment, I imagine, from all the people who come.
Right. Well, you really don't need you know, the lights and the sets and everything are fine. But, you know, in all honesty, and I say this to the kids too, all you really need is wanting to do theater and having a space. It can be a room, and it's up to the actors to transform it into theater. So, you know, we were incredibly lucky to have this space, and it's big, and, you know, we have air conditioning finally, and so there's, you know, it's wonderful to have a space. I mean, there's so many theaters that aren't as lucky as we are. So
during a performance, I imagine those involved directly in the performance, director, actors, and so on, probably have a bit of, if not butterflies, a bit of anxiety as the thing goes on. See how it plays. Do you have any of the nerves when you come to watch a performance, or you just get to sort of oversee things?
Well, it depends on what performance it is. If it's the press opening when all the critics are here, I'm not watching, or I'm working. But, you know, sometimes when I come to see the show, which is rarely that I go and sit and watch the show, because whenever I'm here, I feel like I should be doing something. But sometimes, like, Gail McCarthy will twist my arm, and she'll go out, and so I'll be like, all right, Gail wants me to go. And so we'll have a nice evening seeing a show.
Very
and,
nice.
You know, and I love theater, so...
What time do the performances usually get over? Is there an average time, you know, at night?
Well, it depends. I mean, most shows are 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Some shows could be like an hour 45 without an intermission. So that's what I love about the 7:30 curtain is, I mean, you have to get out of work and get here. Mm-hmm. But the 7:30 curtain is great because you can get out at 9:30 and then you can even, you know, maybe get some food somewhere.
Well, that was my point, especially in the summertime with the summer season coming up, is that there are so many other places that you can indulge in Gloucester after a program. So it's a great place to come. Now, Heidi, let's shift gears a little bit here as we wind this thing up. We got to talk about Hillary Clinton. Have you now? I know that you've performed as Hillary Clinton, and tell me a little bit about that. How'd that get started, and maybe if that is that ongoing.
Yeah, it's always, I'm available. Hillary is available for any parties, any events. It started, a friend of mine, I was working at North Shore Music Theater, and my friend at North Shore Music Theater through the inter-office mail sent me my headshot and my picture and a picture of Hillary from Time magazine and did a separated at birth. And I was like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? And then my mom and grandmother and I watched Hillary on 60 Minutes and they were like, you know, you do look like her. And
a young Hillary.
Yes.
Not like
she
looks now.
Quite a bit younger. Mm-hmm. And I am quite a bit younger. And then I was at the Boston Music Awards at the Wang, and this guy stopped me in the lobby and said, you know, you could make money. And I said, what are you? I'm like, what is this? I said, oh, God, you know. And he's, no. He goes, I'm not fooling around with you. He goes, I'm an agent, and I handle these gigs, and... You know, and he said, I know this guy that does Clinton. You should hook up with him and talk to him and this and that. And so Jim Flaherty, who was a guy who did a lot of celebrity impersonations, but he did Clinton as well. He came down. We worked together. He was a wonderful kind of guy. I had no idea what to do. And we worked together and worked up some shtick. And then we did some – this guy booked us a few times. And then – you know, and
excellent.
Then just went on from there, but I had no clue. So,
well, we'll see what happens. It could be a boom for you coming up in November.
I hope so. Go Hillary.
All right. And that's personal. Finally, Heidi, let's just mention again the upcoming season, maybe on highlights and when the season begins.
Sure. May 19th is Lettuce and Lovage, starring Lindsay Krause, and she is reunited with Benny Ambush, who directed Driving Miss Daisy, which was the award-winning play that Lindsay last did here. here. So they are reunited. And then we are doing a new adaptation of The Rime of the Ancient Mariner.
Ooh, wow.
And it was done in Boston this past season, very, very short run. It's adapted by two local guys, Ben Evett, who also is starring in it, adapted it. It's a one-man show. And it's kind of like The Rime of the Ancient Mariner for today. Mm-hmm. And it's updated for today. And he uses multimedia, and you know, it's really terrific. So it's great. And that opens June 16th and runs right through July 3rd, so right through the Horribles Parade. Then we're doing The Last Schwartz by Deborah Zoe Laufer, which if anybody saw Out of Sterno last year, she wrote that as well, which was one of our big hits. It was comedy, and people loved it. We're still hearing. This is another Deborah Zoe Laufer play about a dysfunctional family. So I think everybody could relate to that.
You got that right.
Who can't?
All right, why don't we hold it there? Because I want to leave. I want to tease more for another day.
That's just through July. Right. We still have a bunch more shows.
Okay.
So.
All right. Heidi, anything else that you want to mention?
No, I think come get your Flex Pass. Go to our website, gloucesterstage.com, or call 978-281-4433. And call up for tickets or drop by the office, and you can buy your Flex Pass and pick out your seats, and you'll be all set. And if you're hungry for theater before we open on May 19th, we do have April 12th, 13th, and 14th is Beauty and the Beast at the Beeman School.
Okay.
So come and see that, and you'll see some hardworking stars of tomorrow.
Excellent. All right, Heidi Dahlin, who is the Media Relations Director at the Gloucester Stage Company.
All right, Rick, thanks very much. Before we go to break and before we go to sports, here's another entertainment-related story, if you will. City of Peabody going bonkers. Alan Burke's story in today's Salem News. Under a new plan filed with the city, the owners of the plaza-containing Bonkers Funhouse, the popular Lowell Street Family Entertainment Center, is asking permission to demolish that building and relocate it elsewhere in the plaza. Other changes are less clear. According to the document filed with the city by landlord Alfred Yeba, the use of the property will be a shopping center comprised of mixed uses, including but not limited to indoor recreation, family entertainment, retail, pharmacy, bank office, barbershop, and so on. Those are some of the businesses that are in there right now. But anyways, Bonkers Funhouse, some changes possibly coming there if they get approved by the city of Peabody. So, Rick, I just wanted to tag that on to your entertainment report because there's breaking news from Bonkers in West Peabody. Back with the sports just ahead here on North Shore Today.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber, and I want to speak to you today about our kitchen cabinet department. Many of our customers tell us how much they appreciate browsing in our showroom, in which there are 25 kitchens displayed. They're also very complimentary of our sales staff. Denise, Randy, Steve, and Mike are four of a kind that's hard to beat. Please visit our kitchen cabinet showroom. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly, or moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO Radio,
North Shore Now,
news and sports.
Marketing and advertising slots are now available on msonewsports.com. Banner advertising, radio commercials. We have numerous marketing and advertising opportunities on our website. Banner advertising, radio commercials in both news and sports programming. Catch on with us now. We have special spring and summer promotions. We are providing an exclusive product, radio and video features with North Shore Newsmakers. For more information, click on the advertise button on the top right-hand corner of our webpage. Stay in contact with us by following us on Twitter at MSO News Sports. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. MSO News Sports, keeping you in contact with the North Shore. Welcome back to North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell with Rick Moore, and time for our look at sports. Last night, Rick Moore had Bob Jackson on, the head coach for Marblehead Hockey. They had a great season this year, undefeated until they lost their last game in the playoffs. Did not come back with the state title, but what a season they had. And in today's sports section of the Salem News, the Salem News High School Hockey Player of the Year is Tim Kalinowski from Marblehead. And this is what they write in today's Salem News. The 5'7", 150-pound senior co-captain and top-line right winger led the league in North Shore in scoring with 58 points, 23 goals, 35 assists. That doubled his career scoring totals from his first 3 years at the high school, allowing him to finish with his all-time with his Marblehead sweater with 56 goals, 60 assists for 116 points, good for fifth all-time in school history. He had a four-assist outing against Agawam, had three helpers in one contest on three separate occasions. So congratulations to Tim Kalinowski from Marblehead Hockey, senior right winger. Marblehead overall this year went undefeated 20-0-1 in the regular season. And so they just had a fantastic year. Got a clip here. This is Bob Jackson, the head coach of Marblehead Hockey, with Rick Moore on North Shore Sports Night from last night.
Well, I'm not sure it's still fully sunk in, but it is nice to reflect back. I know that we have our banquet this coming Sunday, but when we were going into the season, we had an untested goalie, which for the first time since we've taken over the program, we really didn't have any experience from the year before. And so that was a big question mark. Ronnie Cunningham stepped up. He did a great job, and obviously the results by the way, you can see what he accomplished. And then our defense, I mean, we knew that we had some decent forwards, but we weren't quite sure with a new goaltender and some untested defensemen where we'd be. But P.J. Roy and Danny Janesco and Rich Driscoll and Eden Gillis and Duncan Leggett, they all stepped up, Christian Henniger, and we had a couple freshmen that got some shifts in Brendan Watts and Paul Heffernan to get some experience for next year. And, you know, they all did the job when they needed to do it. And I guess that's where you get the results. If you told me that we'd be anywhere close to 20 wins at the start of the season, I would have said, you know, you're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking at the wrong team. So, again, it's just a compliment to the kids. It just shows... you know, you asked about chemistry. I think you can have all the talent in the world, but if there's no chemistry, you can easily lose. I think some teams saw that this past week after the NCAA college tournament. But if the team has chemistry, they have heart, and they work together, you can be a mediocre team, and the heart can carry you a long ways. I don't think you have to look any further than Northeastern to see their story. I think they got a very similar story. They started off very slow to start the season, had basically the same players. They just came together as a team, and what they did the second third of the college season was tremendous.
Bob Jackson, head coach at Marblehead Hockey. Hey, one of the other successful teams on the North Shore this year in hockey was certainly the Lynn Jets. So shout out to them. They held their banquet last night. They finished the year with a 14-4-2 record. And they have a little story on the front page of the item sports section today celebrating their season. And a couple of players winning awards, Brett Malaya, Brendan Devon, two outstanding hockey players, and also the front page there. Joe Conlon, their head coach, handing Matt Cole, I think he's a backup goaltender on the team, with an award as well at the banquet for the Lynn Jets as they held their banquet last night. That's a combined team which involves the Lynn Public Schools. Athletes from Lynn Public Schools that want to play high school hockey, they all play for the Lynn Jets. And they had a fantastic year this past year as well before they bowed out in the tournament. I guess it was to East Boston in Woburn several weeks ago. Well, that'll do it for us. Thanks so much for being with us. We're with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. And this is North Shore Today on MSO News Sports. MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.